Gracious God, help us to learn from your word and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's the end of July. Schools have broken up. It's holiday time. Who likes picnics? Yes, some people do. Not massive enthusiasm. For me, the idea of a picnic is very appealing. The reality is often rather uncomfortable. Sitting on bumpy ground, the breeze blowing sand into everything. Actually, when I think about it, the best picnics I've enjoyed have usually involved making a fire and cooking sausages. But apart from picnics, who likes going out for the day? I think possibly most people like going out for the day. You know, maybe a beauty spot or National Trust or something like that. Well, I don't know about you, but I always take with me some sort of a snack. You know, a sandwich perhaps, or a pasty and an apple, and of course a bottle of water, just in case. Now, let's imagine you've heard it whispered that someone really famous is coming tomorrow to a beauty spot near here. Oh, let's say White Horse Hill at Uffington, for example. You'd rather like to go and take a look. Your friends and your neighbours have said, well, we're going, come with us. So you all set off early, and wow, there are crowds and crowds making their way. Thousands all heading in the same direction. When you get there, the hillside is black with people. And there, at the top, near the eye of the horse, is the man himself. He's with a small group. His minders, perhaps? Well, you've been there some time, you've enjoyed yourself, and now you're beginning to feel a bit peckish. And then you notice something is going on. There's a flurry of activity among the minders. You notice a young boy coming forward, and he's handing something over. What is it? Looks like he's packed lunch. Has he given up his own food? Everyone has now been told to sit down and watch as the man begins to share out the boy's picnic. Then the baskets begin to come round. I've got one to show you. The baskets are coming round. They keep on coming. They're being passed round to everybody. How do you react to the basket? Let's get some responses. Who is going to wave the basket past? Nobody's admitting to waving the basket past. I have to admit I might, but anyway. Has anybody put anything in? Yes. Somebody has. Angela, what did you put in? Sorry, come quite. Strawberries. Strawberries, lovely. Do you know, I asked this question the other day and the answer was dog biscuits. Well, I suppose they would be edible. Strawberries would be nice. So we've got some strawberries in there. Does anybody take anything out?
Strawberries.
Well, exactly. You saw the strawberries, you might, won't you? Now, let's go back to the gospel and the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And 5,000 is just the number of the men, by the way. There were women and children there too. Let me just put the basket down. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels. It's one of the few miracles which appears in all four. It is therefore well attested. It happened. But what exactly happened? I have no doubt at all that there was a miracle. But what sort of miracle? Let's think about miracles in the Gospels for a moment. Now, there are, as you all know only too well, there are different types of miracles. According to one scholar who did some counting, there are three or more exorcisms, 18 casting out of demons, 18 healings, 6 nature miracles, like the calming of the lake we heard just now, or the water into wine at the marriage of Cana, the feeding of the 5,000, and so on. And there are 3 where the dead are raised back to life. The son of the widow of Nain, the Jairus' daughter, and, of course, the raising of Lazarus. Some people have tried to explain them away. You can't explain them away. There wouldn't be much left of Mark's gospel, for example. So, again, question time. What are miracles for? And what are they not for? Are they to meet human need? Cast your minds back to the pool of Bethesda. Jesus healed one man. But there were crowds lying there, crowds of people lying who were not healed, lying down by the side and longing to be healed, and who were no doubt desperately disappointed. Jesus could have demonstrated his power with healing 24/7. He could also have spent his time 24/7 feeding the hungry. But at the start of his ministry, when he was tempted in the desert, he rejected those options. He rejected the option of turning stones into bread. He rejected the option of spectacular displays of power. He rejected those as the main thrust of his ministry, which was not to say that he wasn't going to do them from time to time. So what is going on? I believe Jesus' miracles are a glimpse into heaven. They are signs of God's power. They inspire wonder and awe in us. Is it possible that awe and wonder may inspire us to share what we have to do good? Kindness can be contagious. There's an interesting little detail in the gospel account. It says there was plenty of grass there. Plenty of grass means good pasture, which in turn means plenty of food available. It's almost a hint. Now, as I was saying, kindness can be contagious and a good example can be powerful. Think for a moment of Captain Tom, nearly 100 years old, cheerfully shuffling around his garden on a walking frame. Captain Tom raised £32 million for the National Health Service. Captain Tom inspired others. I call that a miracle. I mean, there are thousands of examples from the pandemic, but I'll just speak of one other. A pub owner somewhere in the south, the pub had an unusual name. It was called Skittles and something else. Was it chickens? Skittles and chickens? It was an odd name. Anyhow, the landlord was forced to close during lockdown. So he started delivering, at his own expense, meals to the needy. The council told him that he wasn't allowed to supply free meals. So he charged 1p each. Taxi drivers, impressed, were inspired to offer a delivery service, 1p a trip. In the first weekend alone, he supplied 4,600 meals. You'd hardly think that was possible, would you? Many people benefited, and many people contributed. People sent him money. One woman sent him £500 and a deep fat fryer because he didn't have one. I've never been so poor and I've never been so happy, he declared with a huge grin. Now, most of Jesus' miracles conferred a direct benefit on just one or two people. The feeding of the 5,000, plus women and children, benefited a great many. They would have gone home fed and inspired. So back to that question, what are miracles for? I don't think they were meant as short-term solutions to specific needs. I think what they were for, what ultimately, they were long-term hope and trust in the goodness and majesty of God. Now, I want to finish with St. Paul's absolutely wonderful prayer in our passage from Ephesians. And pray it along with me if you've got it in front of you, and savour the words because they're absolutely wonderful. Paul says, I pray that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As you are being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that would be a miracle.